You're listening to the Active Together podcast, brought to you by Get Out, Get Active, also known as GOGA.
Hello, welcome to the latest Active Together podcast with me, Sam Lloyd. And today we're heading to Nottingham because I'm delighted to be joined by Rob Karamani, who is the coach of the Nottingham City Lions. Rob, it's a pleasure to speak to you today. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very good indeed. Very much looking forward to our conversation to find out more about this very, very special wheelchair basketball club. But before we go into that, maybe you can tell me a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Yeah. So as you said, my name's Rob. I'm from Nottingham, born and raised here in the city. I'm a full-time wheelchair user. I suffered spinal cord injury at the age of 10 months old. In a car accident when my spinal cord snapped at T2 level, which means that I'm paralyzed from my chest down. So I've got no conscious muscle control from below my chest. Despite, you know, the accident, all that kind of stuff, I grew up as a normal kid, went to school, you know, played lots of sports, spent my time with friends, all that kind of thing. Growing up, back when I was, you know, a teenager, there wasn't really much sporting provisions that were accessible in the area. Using wheelchair basketball as the example, the closest basketball team we had was Mansfield or Newark, which were quite a trek for us to kind of get to. And then when I was at university, we discovered that we had a wheelchair basketball club there, and I got involved in running that. And off the back of that, we started running the wheelchair basketball club here in Nottingham. So my background's very much so always been around sport and activity. And I've translated that into my professional life now.
So Rob, try to put into words how important sport was to you growing up.
Yeah, I mean, growing up for me, I always wanted to get involved with what my peers were doing when we were in school. So PE classes, even though I wasn't as able as everybody else, I always wanted to be involved. So I guess I worked with the PE teachers, tried to find ways to adapt sessions so that I could get involved in any way, shape or form. I think education's been key over the last few years. And I think nowadays we're much better positioned to, you know, for PE teachers to adapt their sessions and make sure that everything is inclusive because it's more the forefront of the conversation. Whereas back when I was at school, you know, 20 odd years ago, people just weren't set up for it. And it was very difficult for them to do. So I felt like I had to take a lot of the impetus on myself to try to say, like, look, I am here, I can do this. Because when I initially joined secondary school, they were talking about me not doing my PE lessons and instead going to a room and doing my homework because that was the easiest thing to do, essentially. So with the help of my parents and obviously me being as strong-willed as I am, it was very much so a case of, no, I want to do this. I want to get involved. And that's what we did. So outside of school, it then went from wheelchair basketball. I played wheelchair basketball for a year, but it wasn't very sustainable because, like I said, the closest teams were Newark and Mansfield, and it was quite difficult for my dad to take us there during the weekdays that they were training. So at the age of 16, I got into playing wheelchair tennis at a pretty high level, played that competitively for a number of years. But then as I got older and after a few injuries, I stepped in towards coaching. I coached disability tennis alongside the wheelchair basketball. And I work full-time as a personal trainer now, specializing in working with people with disabilities. So to your original question in terms of how sport and physical activity has kind of helped me and how I got into it, it's molded my entire life and it's everything that I do around just bettering myself and others, really, and specializing in helping those with disability that didn't necessarily have the help that I did get involved in it.
There's a couple of points I'd like to bring up with our chat. I mean, it's obviously a labor of love for you, sport, but it just goes to show everyone needs a voice. And as you're growing up, it is so important, sport, what it does for us all as individuals and what we get out of it and benefit from it and being active together, whatever your disability.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. I mean, like I said, I spoke about my parents really helping me in school to make sure that we got involved with the PE lessons and all that kind of stuff. And like I said, it's, you need the community in order for that to happen. You need to have these provisions out in the community. And you also need that communication channels and the marketing and all that kind of thing to let people know that there are people out there that have done things before. Using the gym as the example, you know, working as a personal trainer, the amount of disabled people that I've had just kind of come into the gym and think like, oh, I'm not sure if I can use this piece of equipment, or I'm not sure if I can, you know, you do anything in the gym because of my disability. And I think I think you just need that education from the staff. And I think we're quite fortunate, or, you know, in our community here in Beeston in Nottingham, the fact that I'm situated there, it's amazing to show so many people that, you know, things that they thought weren't possible are possible. And there's always ways around things and adapting it. And we all just need a helping hand, really, and a bit of guidance.
Definitely. So let's continue with your journey. Obviously, giving us a kind of a Pricean overview of your sporting journey. But I obviously want to talk specifically about wheelchair basketball, which is something that you had a real passion for. So just explain to me, obviously being a player, being a competitor, but then how did the Nottingham City Lions form and come together?
Yeah, so I touched base on playing basketball for a season, did it for 1 year when I was around 14 years old. And then I always felt like I had unfinished business with wheelchair basketball in some way, shape or form. I really enjoyed it. I really liked it as like a social thing. I wasn't overly happy with it competitively back when I was younger, because I always felt like, as an individual, I want to progress as quickly as possible. When you're in a team sport, the whole team has to progress together. And I guess I was too young and naive to have the patience for that, which is why I went to tennis, because it's an individual sport and I was totally in control of my own progress. But then when I went to university, I was in my second year of university. And then an email dropped into my inbox and it said that we had a wheelchair basketball club, which I had no idea about. I'd already been there for a year and I had no idea that there was a wheelchair basketball club at the university. So talking about communication and marketing, the university definitely needed to up their game there. And then they were looking for a coach. So I thought, I'm pretty sure I could do this. It's a university team. It's not like it's a proper national league team or anything like that. I'm pretty sure I could put together a team and do this. So I went to the interview and then I remember saying distinctively in the interview, a little bit arrogant of me, I know, but I was like, you give me the job and I'll bring home a national title. It really was. Yeah. Bearing in mind that I hadn't played basketball for nearly 10 years at the time. I'm not even sure I knew the rules at the point then, to be honest with you. But, you know, something about me in the interview that the guys really liked, and then they gave me the job. And then during my third year was when I actually started coaching. So during the third year, that's when I got the job. And then I spent more time in my final year working on the wheelchair basketball club than I did my own degree. Because I had to like
pass. Did you pass?
I did. Yeah, I passed my degree. I got a decent 2-1, so I can't complain about that. But no, so during that final year, it was all about putting the team together. And it was really different. Like for me, I thought I'll just do it as a social thing. Obviously, my competitiveness definitely took over once I actually did it. But I thought, you know, it'd be good to meet new people and, you know, play some wheelchair basketball because I haven't done it for so long. But I ended up with a really good group of people doing lots of recruitment and trying to get people involved in wheelchair basketball. The first taster session we ran was a little bit disheartening because despite kind of going to all the freshers fairs and getting over 300 emails and sending emails out to people, nobody turned up to the first taster session. So I thought, oh no, what's going to happen here? But then, you know, after a week or so, we ran a second taster session. And then I went to like some of the able-bodied basketball clubs and showed people that, you know, this is actually really good. Anybody can play it. And then the numbers grew from there. And then thankfully, by the end of the year, we did actually end up winning the national championship. So I was true to my word, which was good. And then off the back of that, some funding in Nottingham City came available from the GOGA project, and they were looking at setting up a wheelchair basketball club in the city. And they approached me and said, would you like to do it? Would you like to run it? And I was like, yeah, absolutely, 100%. Because funny enough, I did law at university. And then I think by the end of my second year, I decided that I didn't want to actually practice that for the rest of my life. And I kind of panicked a little bit and I thought, what else do I know? And the only other thing that I knew was physical activity, sport, and disability. So that was the other good thing about coaching the wheelchair basketball at the university, because they paid for my qualifications as well. So it was another feather in my cap, which was always good. And that's how the club came to be. So that was 2015. And we're, you know, 9 years on, the club is still going. So we must be doing something right, I guess.
and still going strong without question. And I guess, was there the general feeling that there was a bit of a missing void in Nottingham for a club such as this? You've already mentioned when you were growing up and the fact that, you know, your dad had to transport you further afield. So was it very much pinpointing this is something that could really resonate and have an impact on the community of Nottingham?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, like I said, we had Mansfield, we had Newark. I think there was a team in Loughborough as well at the time. And then you had Derby too. So Nottingham, I don't think, has had a competitive basketball team for, I think, over 30 years. But I think this is the problem. The moment you add competitive to the name of the club, it instantly becomes a bit of pressure. And then if you use all those clubs as an example, Newark is still going really strong. I think the model of the Newark Basketball Club is really, really strong. They've got lots of players. They do a lot of things right. They've got lots of different levels of teams. But then if you look at like Derby, Mansfield, Loughborough, their competitive teams have kind of folded. So they don't really exist anymore. So for me, the first and foremost thing with our club is community. So it's a social side of thing and getting people playing and filling that void of a need for wheelchair basketball in the city first and foremost, before we then start, you know, putting out league teams and all that kind of stuff. Don't get me wrong. I'd absolutely love for us to be able to get to a position where we're competing week in, week out with the best teams in the country. But there always has to be that community session first and foremost. And we'll keep building, we'll keep building the club and getting more and more players involved to get to that position. But we need to make sure that there's not a void in Nottingham for wheelchair basketball like there was when I was growing up.
Tell me a little bit, or give me a bit of an oversight of the kind of players, members that you've got, because this is a club that has just gone from strength to strength.
So I think for me, wheelchair basketball is the most inclusive disabled sport. The reason being that anybody can play it, whether you're able-bodied or whether someone like myself is paralyzed from his chest down. It's got the most inclusive kind of rule set that you could possibly get for any sport. So I think our youngest player at the moment, she's 13 years old. And then she's, you know, on court with someone who's like 46 years old. So like Lily, she's 13 years old. Like I said, there's a little, you know, white girl that goes to school and all that kind of stuff. And then she's playing with a 6'2" Jamaican guy who's got multiple sclerosis, who's big and powerful and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you would never see those two together out and about in any other kind of setting. So I think that's another great thing about the club. It brings people of all walks of life there. We've got a range of different disabilities, from spina bifida to spinal cord injury, multiple sclerosis. And then people bring their like families along as well. So it's a really good opportunity for, you know, I mentioned Lily already, but for her and her siblings to be able to jump into a wheelchair and they can all play sport from Lily's perspective. So it helps them like see things from her point of view as well, which is really good. So yeah, we've got all kinds of people, all creeds, all colors, all disabilities, all natures. And yeah, it's just really great.
You mentioned Lily as the youngest and obviously her siblings, because the ethos of the GOGA program is bringing disabled and non-disabled people together to be active. And the benefits of that particular case in point must be huge for Lily to participate and enjoy sport and physical activity with her brothers and sisters, but also likewise for them. You know, it's a two-way street, isn't it, in terms of the benefits here?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it levels the playing field. So they're all kind of in the same level. They can all play. They can all understand. And yeah, it definitely is a two-way thing for them.
And you've obviously seen members come and grow and develop. What do you think, considering you're completely embedded and passionate about sport and physical activity and have been like that since a very early age, how have you seen certain players grow with it as a club? Because it's not only the physical activity. You mentioned the key word community. It's the social side. So no doubt you've got a cross-section of players. How have you seen them benefit from this club in Nottingham?
Yeah, I think when people first come to the sessions, obviously a little bit timid. They're trying to like feel things out. And I think when you see some of the characters that we've got, you know, I mentioned David and you know, 6'2" Jamaican dude, you straight away think that, you know, there's a stereotype already there when you see him, and people are going to judge that immediately. But the moment they get to talking to him, he's just a gentle giant. He's just the nicest guy you would ever kind of meet, and he's always really welcoming. And after a couple of sessions, everyone seems to relax and start to come out of their shell a little bit. So it's great to see everyone's personality just come out bit by bit. And then the more comfortable they get, they all start gelling as a team, and then they're laughing and joking. So there's like three or four of the girls that kind of come to the sessions, and then every session that they come there, they immediately start by racing each other in the wheelchairs because they want to see who's fastest that week. And then we do a drill where they like pull each other along. So you'll kind of hold onto the back of someone's wheelchair, and they have to, the person at the front has to push their chair to drag them behind them. So what might start off as a two-person train, by the end of it, turns into a four, five, six-person train, because they're all just having fun and they're getting involved in it, and they're all growing in that aspect. So it's great for them building social relationships, absolutely. And it's great for them to find out more about themselves as well and grow their own personality, and they all evolve, and that all comes out on top of obviously all the physical benefits, them becoming a bit more independent. And, you know, I've always been a bit big advocate of anyone who's disabled, the stronger and fitter they are, the more their independence comes with that as well. There's so many benefits to it, mentally, physically, and emotionally.
Rob, try to put into words the impact the GOGA program has had on this. I mean, obviously, they came to you as a starter, so to speak, but try and give me an overview of the influence and indeed how it's benefited the club.
I mean, without the GOGA program, there would be no wheelchair basketball club in Nottingham. We'd still be here, you know, 30 plus years on since the previous basketball club was here, and there would still be no club. So we cannot, you know, understate the importance of the GOGA project. Without it, we wouldn't be here, plain and simple as that. You know, the GOGA project provided the wheelchairs that we needed, because as with any wheelchair sport, you can't do the wheelchair sport without the wheelchair part. So you need those first and foremost. And sports chairs don't come cheap either. So without the GOGA project, we wouldn't have the wheelchairs. And we wouldn't have had the impetus and the funding to be able to get the court time that we needed, the equipment that we needed, you know, basketballs as well as the wheelchairs, the hoops and all that other kind of stuff, the marketing material. And also they were the first to kind of step up and say, like, you know, there's a gap in the market here. You know, Nottingham's not had a wheelchair basketball club for all these years. Why not do that? There's clearly a provision and a want for it. So we put that provision on.
Mm. And for you personally, in your own kind of sporting journey, how much have you enjoyed the kind of coaching element of this?
Yeah, it's been good. I've always had a very tactical mindset. I mean, I mentioned before about being paralyzed from my armpits down. Unfortunately, there's a lot of things that I wish my body would let me do, even at disability sport level with my tennis and stuff. But it's been great to you know, sit there and being able to, like, you know, help other people progress, and, you know, not just with wheelchair basketball, with the tennis as well. But, you know, being able to coach people and help them develop one by one has been fantastic. I really like that. It does kind of, you know, the competitive side of me wants me to jump on court all the time and, you know, be involved with it just as much as I am coaching. But yeah, it's just a different challenge in my sporting journey. And I love it. I really do.
And how do you find that? You're really honest about the fact that you had a bit of a foray into wheelchair basketball when you were younger and then went tennis. And it's really interesting, isn't it? The physiological element of sport, if you're competing as an individual or as a team. So do you think you've matured in that respect in terms of kind of the teammanship of wheelchair basketball?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. I think when you're managing so many personalities, university was the prime example. When you're managing lots and lots of different personalities, it can get a little bit sticky in situations. And it's really interesting, you know, managing just a group of students as opposed to the group of people that we've got now, where it's all different age ranges, all different abilities. It's so chalk and cheese, it really is. I must admit that when we won the national championship, of all of my sporting accomplishments over the years, winning the national championship with the university is probably my favorite sporting accomplishment, purely because I got to share it with others. And I think when you're playing an individual sport, it's like, yeah, you pat yourself on the back, but then you pick yourself up and then you go again for the next week and so on and so forth. Whereas we really enjoyed that win together as a team. And I think that's something that a team sport, you can only experience in a team sport. You can't experience that in an individual sport. So yes, I would say I probably have matured a little bit. and team sport is always really good. So.
And when you have time to kind of reflect, it must, through Goga support, which you've been very honest and candid about, but it must make you incredibly proud of what you've achieved with the Nottingham City Lions when you just sit back momentarily and think about it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we've always tried to do things, you know, within the smallest budget possible so that we're not, you know, just throwing money at every single problem. Longevity has always been the forefront of everything that we do here. I want to make sure that the club is always safe and is always going to keep going. We've had a lot of challenges from, you know, different venues, having some time moved from place to place because either court costs have risen or they've not had the storage space for the wheelchairs there. COVID really hit us quite badly, as it did with all sports clubs across the country. So it's been a really challenging, you know, 9 years of doing this. I would ideally, and in an ideal world, want us being in a competitive environment now and having a league team out there. But then I understand the process of, you know, we are a community club and it has to grow organically. And then when we have had players come along that, you know, are already ready to compete and they've already got that wheelchair basketball level where they can go into a league team and play, we've had to kind of almost like feed those players into other clubs that are already established and already have league teams, which is in some respects held back our own development as a club, because obviously we're not at that point yet because we've not necessarily had the players or the experience, or we're not quite ready for that yet. So yeah, it's been an interesting journey over the last 9 years, lots of ups and lots of downs, but the one thing I'm proud of is we're still here despite all of that kind of stuff that we've been through. We're still going, we're still getting, you know, double digits of players almost every single week, which is good, and the club can only keep growing from here.
And you must be proud with the impact that you're making in the community as well.
Yeah, absolutely, bringing all these different types of people together, being the ones that are putting the provision on and filling that gap in the market to make sure that people are getting involved and active. It's huge. It's massive. Like, the community needs it, absolutely. And yeah, I'm really proud of that.
Rob, finally, the name of the podcast is Active Together. So putting you on the spot here, how would you define that in your kind of context, in your experience, Active Together?
So for me, being active together is, you know, working with, it could be anything, working with your friends, working with your family, and it could be anything, going for a walk. It could be, you know, playing a specific sport with each other. And it's not just the actual sport that's the main focus there. It's building social relationships. It's developing your own personality, your own skill set. It's great physically, emotionally, and mentally. But the importance of being active together is massive for everything, you know, for the community, as I said, for your own individual growth as well. And it, like I said, activity can take form in any shape or form, really.
Well, Rob, it's been an absolute joy and delight to have a chat with you today. I wish you and the rest of the Nottingham City Lions all the best. Here's to another 9, 18, whatever, 20 years, because you're doing a phenomenal job in Nottingham, bringing the community together. But for now, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you so much, Sam.
You're listening to the Active Together podcast, brought to you by Get Out, Get Active, also known as Goga.
If this story's inspired you, remember, it's not about what you do or how much you do. It all counts to get out and get active. And if you're part of an organisation wondering what you can do to help others to get active, visit getoutgetactive.co.uk, where you'll find lots of information and resources to help get you started.